We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, home of Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog.
That's right.
And also Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in as we're getting near the end of the baseball season. The Cardinals, of course, were go Cardinals.
Yeah.
Excited for them.
Oh, boy, yeah. Always exciting September with the Cardinals.
Yeah, here's the thing. You were actually recording this about the middle of September, 1st of September, and the Cards at this point are leading, I think, by 5 games. I hope we haven't jinxed them.
I know. I hope it continues. Yeah. We're in the time warp of radio. This will be played, 3 weeks after we record it, so hopefully...
By the way, did you introduce yourself?
No, I did not.
Okay, you better do that because people want to know.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, the sidekick here on Rich with the Basics from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
I don't kick you in the side that much
anymore. Not too much. No, thank you. Okay. You're going easy on me.
How long will the ice cream place be open there, Ted Drew's?
Ted Drew's through the first of the year.
Really?
Because they have the Christmas tree sales and
so can you get ice
things.
Cream while they're selling oh, the trees?
Oh, you bet you can. Oh, yeah. So, awesome. You see people out there shivering, eating ice cream, below zero temperatures. Oh, it's great. St. Louis tradition.
That's how good Ted Drew's is.
That's
that you
just
can
how
eat
good.
It when it's sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah, and they get out the pine needle flavor then too.
Oh, you're kidding
me. Yeah, the pine needle concrete.
No, really? Are you pulling my leg?
I'm yanking your noodle. Okay. Pulling your leg.
Yanking my noodle? All right, I'm sorry. By the way, we are finishing up the fruit singular
Very good.
Of the Spirit. But we do have kind of a warning. Do you like to putter around in these beautiful fall days outside?
Oh, every chance I get. Just spend it outside. You bet.
Well, one of our regular listeners, who is Stephen Hawking, he listens to the show all the time, and he has a kind of a word of caution he'd like to give to all the people that do like to putter around in their backyards during the... what are you looking at me for?
No, a public service announcement.
Public service announcement.
Very good.
He wants to remind you that the Higgs boson... potential has the worrisome feature that it might become mega stable at energies above 100 BN giga electron volts. That's GeV. This could mean that the universe could undergo catastrophic vacuum decay with a bubble of the true vacuum expanding at the speed of light. This could happen at any time, people, and we wouldn't see it coming. So Hawking wants to warn us that if we accelerate the Higgs boson to incredibly high energy fields, the particle could lead to the complete collapse of space and time as we know it. However, here's the caution. It won't happen unless your particle accelerator is large enough.
Monday on Issues Etc., we're going to give away the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians, to the listener with the best question or comment for Dr. Andrew Doss on the Book of Galatians. So tune in and call in Monday.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
We're on a mission from God.
Now for something completely different.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, home of Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog.
That's right.
And also Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in as we're getting near the end of the baseball season. The Cardinals, of course, were go Cardinals.
Yeah.
Excited for them.
Oh, boy, yeah. Always exciting September with the Cardinals.
Yeah, here's the thing. You were actually recording this about the middle of September, 1st of September, and the Cards at this point are leading, I think, by 5 games. I hope we haven't jinxed them.
I know. I hope it continues. Yeah. We're in the time warp of radio. This will be played, 3 weeks after we record it, so hopefully...
By the way, did you introduce yourself?
No, I did not.
Okay, you better do that because people want to know.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, the sidekick here on Rights with the Basics from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
I don't kick you in the side that much
anymore. Not too much. No, thank you. You're going easy on me.
How long will the ice cream place be open there, Ted Drew's?
Ted Drew's, through the first of the year.
Really?
Because they have the Christmas tree sales and
so can you get ice cream while they're selling?
Oh,
the trees?
You bet you can.
Awesome.
Yeah, so yeah,
awesome.
You see people out there shivering, eating ice cream, below zero temperatures. Oh, it's great. St. Louis tradition.
That's how good Ted Drew's is.
That's
that you
just
can eat
good.
It when it's sub zero temperatures.
Yeah, and they get out the pine needle flavor then too.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, the pine needle concrete.
No, really? Are you pulling my leg?
I'm yanking your noodle.
Okay.
Pulling your leg.
Yanking my noodle? All right, I'm sorry. By the way, we are finishing up the fruit, singular,
very good.
Of the Spirit. But we do have kind of a warning. Do you like to putter around in these beautiful fall days outside?
Oh, every chance I get. Just spend it outside. You bet.
Well, one of our regular listeners, who is Stephen Hawking, he listens to the show all the time, and he has a kind of a word of caution he'd like to give to all the people that do like to putter around in their backyards during the... what are you looking at me for?
I know. A public service announcement.
Public service announcement.
Very good.
He wants to remind you that the Higgs boson... potential has the worrisome feature that it might become mega stable at energies above 100 BN giga electron volts. That's GeV. This could mean that the universe could undergo catastrophic vacuum decay with a bubble of the true vacuum expanding at the speed of light. This could happen at any time, people, and we wouldn't see it coming. So Hawking wants to warn us that if we accelerate the Higgs boson to incredibly high energy fields, the particle could lead to the complete collapse of space and time as we know it. However, here's the caution. It won't happen unless your particle accelerator is large enough, bigger than the Earth itself. So all of you who are building the particle accelerators there in your backyard, please don't make it any bigger than, say, one of our largest states, Texas or Alaska, perhaps, but no greater than a continent. I know you're trying to impress your neighbors. Everyone wants to have the biggest particle accelerator, but please, safety first.
Okay. Well, who was this listener again?
Stephen Hawking. You know Stephen Hawking, don't you? A famous physicist.
Yeah,
he listens.
He's a regular investor with the base.
He's
a regular listener.
Yeah. Regular listener. And he was concerned that people might be building their particle accelerators too big this fall.
I see.
And we wouldn't want to be sucked into the vacuum of time.
And everyone,
a catastrophic end of the earth.
And everyone knows fall is the time when people build their particle accelerators. So how appropriate.
What else would you build your particle accelerator? Actually, that comes to us from our good buddy, Paul Clayton.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, who is now officially retired, by the way. If
congratulations.
He lives out of Herculaneum, and he submits photos all the time to Channel 5 for their weather. He's just really into photoing the nature and
cool.
The sunsets and everything out there. So, Paul, we love you, and thank you for warning us against the Higgs boson particle.
Very good. So he's taking pictures of Herculaneum and also apparently building something in his backyard in Herculaneum.
<That's right. laughs> And he ran across and thought other people might needed to know that. All right, Matt, enough of that. Hold on. Where's it at? There it is.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Yes. So we need to move on to the final and last and completion and summation of all the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sorry, I still haven't got all of them memorized, so I don't get a free bookmark. But what is the last fruit?
We've got the last fruit is the fruit of self-control.
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 Okay.
Yeah. So we talked last week about maybe not wanting all the fruit. Maybe this is one we don't want so much.
I gotcha. Yeah. That's why it's the last. You know, you might be full of fruit by this time and just skip that last.
That's right. The plate's full. Sorry, self-control.
Right.
You didn't make it. Maybe next time. No, but self-control, again, a fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And again, they all come as a package, and what a blessing. These nine things that Paul describes here in Galatians chapter 5, these nine fruit of the Spirit. So let's get onto it here. The fruit
there's
of,
nine of them?
Yes.
Well, that's where I thought there was only five. So that's why I didn't get them all memorized. I stopped after five.
This is... Why is this taking so long every Saturday morning? We do this for 9 weeks, yeah. For crying out loud. Okay.
Where are we going?
We are going to talk... Well, first I want to talk about walls a little bit. Walls.
Okay.
And the
wall
purpose
drug up there
of walls
in the Dakotas?
South Dakota. I have not been there, but I hear it's something to see.
It is.
Another wall to see. If you're thinking walls, what wall, other than the one in South Dakota, do you think of? What do you think people think of?
The Great Chinese
Wall?
Yeah,
I think most people.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I just...
By the way, I want to clarify something. You cannot see that from space.
What? Are you sure?
I just read about that the other day, because everyone says, it's so big, you can see it from space. Is that what you were going to say? Were you going to say that?
Well, I don't know where we're going to do the next 20 minutes, because that was my
whole
thing.
Well, okay. It's too dark, for one thing. You could distinguish it from the rest of the land around there. So anyway, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow your illustration.
Well, never mind.
But you can't see it from space, no.
But it is still impressive.
It's big.
Whether you
it
can see
big.
It from space or not, it's impressive. This wall, it stretches. Any guesses how many miles it stretches?
I have no idea.
Over 5,000 miles. Isn't that
You're
incredible?
You're kidding me. Yeah. One single wall?
Isn't that amazing? And it
that
appears different in different places from what I understand.
Okay.
It's not all this majestic wall, but yet stretches that far.
You used to be able to see it, but then they camouflaged it.
They painted it.
They painted it with camouflage. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about the joke last week. I wanted to buy some camouflage pants, but I couldn't find them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Slap me. Do something. Move on. What's going on here?
All right. Well, and well, I want to. So we have the Great Wall of China. We have this Hadrian's Wall in England. We have all these other different walls. And why?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
Okay.
Have a point.
Okay.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
You don't play that when you're talking about camouflage pants,
no,
but you're going to play that when I'm talking about walls.
Yeah.
Okay, there is a point. My point is, why were these walls built? What's the purpose of these walls? It's not just to look cool from outer space not.
I'm assuming to keep out marauding invaders.
Exactly. Keep out the invaders, whether they're whether they're these nomadic people the Chinese are trying to keep out, or maybe just wild animals. A certain city may have a wall so they can sleep at night without wolves attacking them. Walls provided protection. And no matter how great the city was, without a wall, the city would probably fall. Even the best of cities.
Do you know that the city of heaven has a wall too?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah,
yeah. We have this description of heaven itself as this walled city.
Yep.
Yeah, very good. And well, the reason I'm bringing up walls is because the self-control. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the big buildup. The self-control. Guess how many times it's talked about in the Old Testament?
I have no idea.
Just one time.
You're kidding me.
Just one time. Yeah,
once in the entirety of the Old Testament, including the law and the prophets and the Psalms and all of that.
Yeah, the whole kit and caboodle. And guess what it's compared to?
A wall.
Got you. Guess. Yeah, a wall.
That's neat.
Yeah,
really.
So, yeah.
You got the passage, or
I
you're
do
just
have
making
a passage.
This up?
So Proverbs.
Not that I don't trust you.
Sure. Proverbs 25, verse 28.
Okay.
Here it goes. It says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls."
Is that right?
So a person without self-control is compared to a city without walls. And I think that's a powerful picture. It's a very vivid picture,
too. It was worth all of the silliness
to get
there.
Well, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
Again, no matter how big the city is, no matter how beautiful the city is, no matter how large or small, without walls, it's open to attack. A wallless city is a defenseless city.
And a person without control, then, is defenseless.
Defenseless. Without self-control, we're vulnerable, we're open to attack. And, of course, the attack that we're most open to is the attack of Satan himself. Satan, who is described like a wild animal, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
That's a neat image, too. That's right.
Yeah.
So, he is this wild animal. You got to have a wall to keep him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to protect us from Satan, but also to protect us in a way from ourselves, too. Because really, I think what many times breaks down our self-control is our own sinful desires. Our sinful desires to do things that aren't God-pleasing.
Are you going to talk about Eve here?
Well, we certainly can.
Well, I didn't want to jump the gun.
No, go ahead.
But it's just what you said. That fits it perfectly, doesn't it? Because she had no self-control. She looked at the fruit, looked pretty good. The guy said it could give you knowledge. Why not? Take a bite. Because there was no self-control.
Yeah. The very first sin, no self-control. But instead, she's vulnerable to Satan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that lack of self-control, because of our sinful selves too, like it may be different for each one of us. Maybe we each struggle with something that we don't have self-control over.
Yeah.
Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's gossip.
You've gone from preaching to meddling. Gluttony stuff, okay? Yeah. Don't look at my stomach like that. Right.
I'm not going to name names, Pastor Lukumsky, but... But for this struggle, and maybe it's driving, maybe it's road rage. The list goes on and on and on. But when
would you quit meddling?
I'm hitting a nerve. But when that lack of self control is there, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to Satan. We're vulnerable to more sin. A man without self control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Kind of an extreme example of a lack of self control is. And maybe I'm meddling here too, but when we think of everything that's taken place in Ferguson here, pretty close to home for you and I, start to finish, we think of self control, and when there's a lack of it, things don't turn out so well.
And see, that's what, because on both sides, so you've got decent people, they're just protesting over something that they find very offensive. But then again, there's the people that lose self-control and they start breaking into liquor stores.
No doubt.
Which, of course, is how you want to protest the death of someone. Break into a liquor store.
Well, that was always my first thought.
Yeah. But then again, you got the police, and again, they're getting upset, and they're hitting people, and again, they lose their self-control too, because they get so worked up and excited about what's going on.
Yeah. And it's, I just want to use that as an example, but also I want to keep in mind too, it's not just people in Ferguson, obviously, but it's people in the neighborhoods of New Athens, and it's in St. Louis, and the St. Louis Hills neighborhood where our Ascension's at, and the Lindenwood Park neighborhood where we live. And it's all of us who struggle with self-control. And I think that it's sometimes, maybe we can view it as a kind of a battle that's going on, really, in our own lives. And again, that imagery of this city that's been broken into, its walls broken down, and it's really a battle, I think, essentially, between our old sinful selves and that new person we are in Christ. That battle with the old man, the old Adam, that is a daily battle, a daily struggle. And self-control is certainly a part of that battle. A battle between Satan and us as new creations, and the fruit of the Spirit, and the battle goes on and on. Yeah.
You and our good buddy Will Wheaton, I was doing the Bible study with him a couple weeks ago on Romans 2, and it strikes me as that the key thing that causes, well, it's not the cause, it's the fruit of the breakdown again. So we got the fruit of the Spirit, but you can also have the fruit of unrighteousness is passion and lust that leads people to do all kinds of things. It's a lack of self-control. I never thought of applying that word to those situations. But when you act out of lust, there is no self-control, is there?
Yeah.
No.
That's right. That's right. And it's so funny. It's called self-control, but yet we keep in mind it's a fruit of the Spirit. So the self-control is a gift from God, even still.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But
not only interesting, but I think crucial. But
essential, I think. Yeah. Yes. It's not just some self-help thing we're talking about here. If we really work hard on this, we can have that self-control finally, and I can be over and done with all sin, and I'm just perfect. No, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's a daily battle with that new person in Christ and that old self. But with that daily battle, I think to continue this kind of war imagery here, our assurance is that the war has been won, right? The victory has been won, and this victory has been won for us, of course. We keep going back to it with all these fruit in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And of course, we go back to the cross like we've done with all these things. The self-control that Jesus had. When he went to the cross and his arrest, and even though he could have called upon angels to rescue him or could have come down off the cross, yet He doesn't. He puts that aside.
You know, last week we were talking about that in the context of gentleness.
Yes.
But I hadn't thought about it. You're right. In the context of self-control, knowing that he could have full well snapped his fingers and every single one of those people that were surrounding him, arresting him, mocking him, crucifying him, they could have just been burnt up like that in hellfire and brimstone. He could have done that if he wanted.
Sure.
Yeah.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Yeah. But and then, as we look at self-control, though, I want to focus on one area in particular. I said earlier that we each have our own struggles, and maybe it's behind the wheel of the car, or eating, or whatever the case may be, a lack of self-control.
And we've got people listening who are probably struggling with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one that I think that I want to hit on, because I think most likely all of us deal with it in one way or another, is that self-control, especially when it comes to our words, to our tongues.
Okay.
And so we want to go to your favorite book of the Bible.
Yes.
Jolly John.
Thank you.
The book of James. And I say that jokingly.
Just a second. I got to paste it back into my text. I tore it out of my Bible, but we'll stick it back in there for you.
So James chapter 3. But this talks about self-control. And especially when it comes to controlling our tongues, our words. So James chapter 3, if you want to begin with maybe verse 3.
If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Keep reading, or
that's good. No, I think that's good. We get the point. It talks about these different things that we that really you have to have control over. Different things that are, maybe are small, but you need control over because they exercise great control. So you have this horse's bit, a ship's rudder, that spark of fire. They can set a forest on blaze, and yet really, I think those things pale in comparison to what James is getting at here, our tongues and the control that it takes to control our tongues and the great damage sometimes that our words, our tongues can do. And really, the importance of this is because our tongues and what we say really kind of reflects what's inside of us. And so,
well, yeah, you get that image with the vine and all that.
Oh, yeah, the
stuff.
Vine and the spring and how it should be fresh, you know, fresh water becomes fresh water and salt water and... And it's the same with us, that our words really reflect what's inside of us. And so with that self-control, may our words reflect that new person we are in Christ rather than that old person that we are, our old sinful selves, and that daily battle with self-control. No person can tame the tongue, James says, and he's right. Yeah, the only one who could, I guess, again, going back to Jesus himself. And I think, again, to go to the cross, all the different things that Jesus endured from the tongues of others as they wagged their tongues at him, we sometimes even say, telling him to come off the cross, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking him. You know, he saved others. He cannot save himself. And throughout it all, Jesus, for the most part, even during his trial, doesn't move his tongue. He just remains silent. Maybe that's a good lesson for us too. Sometimes it's better just to hold our tongue. But the few times he does speak, he speaks and he uses his tongue not to curse, amazingly, but to bless. And again, like we pointed out last week, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To pronounce those words of forgiveness is just incredible. And so, but Jesus, not just as an example here, but Jesus is as the reason why now we can be that new creation.
Yes.
Forgiven through him because he held his tongue, because he exercised that self-control, even hanging on a cross, Now we are those forgiven people, that new creation, and he gives us that gift of self-control.
You know, it just occurred to me, since you brought us the example of Christ and his self-control, and yet he has that self-control because he's basically turned his control over to the Lord,
yeah.
Right? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, no, I don't really want to do this. Take this cup away from me. That's what his will would have been, but not my will. Thy will be done. So even Jesus' self-control doesn't come from within himself, but rather it comes because he's turned this over to the Lord.
Yeah, to his Father,
to
doing
his father.
The Father's will.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And I think the same with us. Again, this self-control is...
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.